As you're turning there, can I challenge you? One of the greatest virtues that any of us could have, or one of the greatest traits, is awareness. Are you aware of what you're doing right now? Are you aware of God when you woke up this morning? Are you aware that you're going to hear a message that God laid upon this particular preacher's heart? I did not invent it. God said this is what needs to be preached. Are you aware that you're only going to be a freshman one time, 1 year? Well, hold on, that might not be true. All right, some of you are going to be freshmen 4 years from now. You're 18. You're 19. And you won't be that way very long. And if there's one thing that God has given me is a sense of awareness, and I pray that you'll listen very carefully to the message today, I'm going to catch up to you in Matthew chapter 21. But first, I want to read a verse from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Going to read another passage of scripture in James chapter 5. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And then Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse number 12. And Jesus went unto the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And let's read verse 13 together. Ready? And said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it my house shall be called the house of prayer." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. And God, you've called me to do something that is a little bit over my head. And Father, I 10,000 times pray that they will hear your spirit and not my voice. God, we commit this service to you. God, I pray that you'll just reveal yourself to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. 3 years ago, I was in a meeting at the church with Brother Wilkerson and all the direct reports, and he was doing some casual business. He said, "Hey, a good pastor down in central Indiana asked me to attend a prayer seminar," and he said, "I can't make it." He said, "Would any of you gentlemen be available to go on this prayer seminar?" And he gave us the dates, and it got real quiet. Nobody was responding. Then I begin to analyze. It's like, okay, a day out of the office, a day traveling, a day in a prayer seminar versus in an office all day. I said, "Pastor, I could do that for you." He goes, "Thanks, Brother Douglas." Gave me some instructions. I took one other man with me, another assistant pastor. We went down to that prayer seminar in Martinsville, Indiana. The next 4 hours changed my life forever. It was probably 10 minutes into that prayer seminar that I sensed the presence of God in my life and in that meeting. I've recently went to a revival meeting that was preached by evangelist Rick Flanders of Michigan. And we got to talking about that meeting because he preached a couple messages there. He said, "Brother Douglas, God was all over that meeting." And I said, "I know he was." 80 of us concluded that message, that seminar. Most of them, actually only myself and the other assistant pastor, were the only ones that were not senior pastors, with a prayer meeting like none other. But I believe it was God was showing me what a prayer meeting should be like. At that time, I wasn't the president of Hiles Anderson College. Can I just cut to the chase? I would like to bring, by God's help, and I believe God wants this to happen, a culture of prayer at Hiles Anderson College. Amen. Like none other. I believe, and I'm extending myself here, God wants to bring revival, and he wants to do it through the students of Hiles Anderson College. Revival never comes without prayer. Revival never comes without holiness. So there is a price to pay. We'll talk about that later. And so my message is going to be pretty simple, and I probably will have follow-up messages on this. Forgive me for those of you who are not interested in this, but you really reveal your heart's condition. The only reason anyone, any Christian, would not be interested in revival is because of the sin in their life. The idols of your heart want nothing to do with revival. But just a casual look at our spiritual condition, my spiritual condition, a casual look at the condition of the United States of America, where I believe everything has just been turned upside down. I'm a product of the 60s and 70s. Those were my growing up years. And you know, compared to today, it was like Mayberry RFD back then. Even if you weren't a Christian, there were decent people with good character. There were patriots. Everybody was a patriot back then. And I look at the news and it's like, we've gone mad. We have literally gone crazy, and there's nothing that you or I can do it other than have a revival. We don't choose to have a revival. We just clean ourselves up and we beg for a revival. The most productive thing that I do each day is pray. It was J. Oswald Sanders who said, "When man works, but when man prays, God works." If you're a returning student, you know that, and you're very familiar with that. I'm going to say it again. When man works. But when man prays, God works. Now, whether you recognize it or not, you need God a part of your entire life. Can I get your eyeballs up here? Many of you have been raised, and everybody has kind of nurtured you, protected you, loved you, made all the big decisions for you. But now you're in college, training for the ministry. It is time, and especially you young men, to look deep within here and say, you know what? I want to be a part of the solution. I want to be different than everybody else. I want God's power upon my life. I want to be used of God in a great way. You also are kind of programmed. Many of us are just programmed in thinking normal, because normal is safe. And I abhor thinking normal. I really do. I want to think, why not, God? Why can't we? What's holding us back, Lord? Well, we're looking at who's holding us back, all of us here. Let me get into the message here. What is prayer? We've really got to put this under the microscope. What is prayer? First of all, prayer is an opportunity to know God. It is how we communicate with Him. Listen, I'm all for relationships. I'm all for good relationships. And boy, you're going to make some great relationships here at Hiles Anderson College. You really are. That's why Brett keeps coming back, because he loves this place. But the greatest relationship you can ever develop is a relationship with God. I'm going to go back here and say it again. Some of you, do me a favor. Get that uninterested look off your face. Wake up. Wake up. If your boyfriend or girl distracts you, don't sit by him. But the truth is, you have been tagging along on your pastor's faith, your youth director's faith, and your parents' faith. It's time for you to get a faith. And that faith will cause you to do something. Prayer is an opportunity to know God. Listen, every time you look in the Bible where someone had a vision of God, something mighty happened. Always they were humbled, greatly humbled, frightened even. You go to Isaiah chapter 6, and Isaiah saw a vision of the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And very descriptive passage of all that was going on. The sound that rumbled, that shook the entire temple. That's pretty amazing. I'm not a charismatic, but I believe God changes lives. I believe God changes personalities. I believe God has the ability to transform each and every one of us if we let Him. What is prayer? It's an opportunity to know God. I know a lot of great people, but there's nobody I want to know better than my Heavenly Father. Second, prayer is an opportunity for spiritual intimacy. It fulfills emotional needs. It's an opportunity to fulfill spiritual intimacy. All of us within us, we like to have a very close relationship. Whether it's through marriage or through our Heavenly Father through prayer, it is something that is innate within us that we want to be intimate. There is nobody that I would rather be intimate with my Heavenly Father. I mean, when the tears flow, where I can say anything to Him without any, are you serious, Dave? That's a stupid thought. You know, I don't like to cry in front of people because when we cry, we get real ugly. You ever notice that? We do, we get ugly. I'll never forget the first time I cried in front of my wife. Serious. I was overwhelmed, just absolutely overwhelmed. As a young man, without any proper family training or father or mother teaching me how to be a husband, and it was just overwhelming to me. And I, one evening, came home from work, and Mrs. Douglas was asking me some questions, and I began to cry. I was embarrassed. And I put my hands over my face, and then it was like, I can't believe I'm crying in front of my wife. Can I just tell you, that was one of the greatest things I did. That bonded Mrs. Douglas and I like no other. And I realized she thought it was okay. I would not suggest, men, that you cry in front of your girlfriend because you did not meet your goal on your bus route. That's pretty silly. But I think when you're overwhelmed, I think it's important to purge those things out. Prayer is an opportunity for spiritual intimacy. It fulfills emotional needs. There have been many occasions as an adult man where I found myself driving to my favorite places, usually they're out in the woods, and my favorite of all favorites is in the Pacific Northwest in the Cascade Mountains. I mean, somewhere that is just holy to me. Somewhere where it is rugged, it's wilderness, the smells, the sights. Once again, in the end of November, I'll go back out there. Yes, I go hunting, but more than anything, it's like, oh God, there's nobody there but me and God. And millions of trees. You need to find a place where you can find intimacy with your Maker. Somewhere on this campus. Somewhere where you can purge out all the anxiety, the fears, and everything that is in there. And you can return back to life strengthened. Number three, prayer allows you to purge the wrong emotions. Let's take a poll here. How many of you have wrong emotions sometimes? How many of you are mad at a roommate right now? How many of you want to punch somebody out? Do not raise your hand. Frustration. Why did he do that? Again, when I go into my prayer closet, I can tell everything to my Heavenly Father, and I come out of that prayer closet wondering, now what was my issue again? Because I'm good. It is well with my soul. And you know, sometimes you guys especially, I know male behavior, you just really, really need to find a prayer closet and just tell God everything. That does a whole lot better than telling your roommate or your bus captain or your division leader or a vice president or Brother Douglas what the issues are. I mean, get rid of all that negativity and the Lord will take it. Prayer is an opportunity to be more Christ-like. That's what we're here for, to become more Christ-like. You're not here to be the big man on campus. You're not here to strut your stuff. You're not here because you just got swag. Don't even try that. It's just really, really humorous to me to see an 8-year-old act like he's got it. It just, all right, pat you on the head, kid. Prayer gives us power over evil. Prayer keeps us humble. Prayer is a means of solving problems. Matthew chapter 18 is a beautiful chapter. And in verse 19 it says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Again, real quick, let me describe what's going on in Matthew chapter 18. A lot, but in this portion of Scripture, it talks about church discipline, and it talks about how we should reconcile, and then it talks about pray. If two of you shall agree, and this is where we have our corporate prayer meetings, that we agree on what we're going to pray for. And let me challenge you, you have bus route meetings, you have division meetings, agree about what you're going to pray for. If you have 20 people in a prayer meeting, and you're all praying about different things, I'm not saying God's not going to hear your prayer, but I am saying that you're going to dilute the enthusiasm of that prayer meeting. If all of you pray about the same thing, you need to decide what you're going to pray for. Maybe it's Mr. Rodriguez, who won't let his children come to church, and the children want to come to church, and Mrs. Rodriguez wants the children to come to church. Then there needs to be about 8 to 15 bus workers praying for Mr. Rodriguez. We come, we agree. There is power in prayer. There ought to be prayer meetings all over this campus. The rec center on Friday morning ought to be packed out. The rec center on Friday morning ought to be packed out. Well, Brother Douglas, you know we're really, really busy here. And we've got classes. You don't have classes at 7:15. Well, Brother Douglas, I get in at 11 o'clock at night. 6 hours of sleep is fine for you. You can live off 5 hours. I know men that went through college living on 3 hours of sleep. I would not recommend it. You know, if the Muslims shut down everything for prayer time, and they do, why can't we as Christians gather together and say, God, we need you, God. Some of you, you need a revival in your hardened heart. Some of you upperclassmen with the cynicism that just has come totally taken you over. You're not going to make a good spiritual leader until you repent of that. You say, well, Brother Douglas, I just see everything with an angle. Right, you've been hurt or you got pride in your heart or something. But until you repent, you're not fit for spiritual leadership. We have to develop a pure heart. And boy, I fight like anything. If I give any spiritual energy to anything as God, I want my heart pure. I do not want it polluted by anything, God. And God, I've seen a lot in my life and I've been exposed to a lot, but God, please sanctify me. God, help me. God, you demand a pure heart. I need your help. Prayer is a means of solving problems. Let's talk about reasons to prayer. Not a fancy outline, very instructional, very class-like, but we just need to start somewhere. First of all, God invites us to pray. Psalm 50-50, I'm sorry. I've been influenced by the bus ministry. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Psalm 91:15, and he shall call upon me, and I shall answer him. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given you. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Let me say it again, there's nothing more productive I do every day than pray. Jesus said, let my house be called the house of prayer. It didn't say the house of soul winning. Soul winning is vitally important, but he said, let it be called the house of prayer. Listen, if you are in ministry, you're going to be in ministry. Whatever you do, you've got to put prayer as a top priority. And I'm going to say it again. The reasons you don't, number one, is because you have sin in your life. Number two, you have idols in your heart. Number three, you just don't believe God. Come on, let's put the jelly on the bottom shelf. Because if you believe prayer like I believe prayer, you would pray all the time. I get things from God. I'll say it again. Find it very interesting that yesterday at 7:30 a.m., we had three men pray specifically for God, please reduce the intensity and the power of Hurricane Dorian. And by 9:42, it was downgraded to Category 2. Brother Douglas, do you believe God heard your prayer? I do. Brother Douglas, what about the thousands of other people that prayed the same thing? God heard their prayer too. There's so much skepticism involved in prayer. We want to give the human reasoning of why things took place. And I just look at people like that and scratch my head and say, you're dumb. God did it. God did it. He heard my prayer. We are so humanistic in our thinking. We need to purge ourselves of all that humanistic thinking and say, God. Once again, if we want revival, we first of all have to pray. God invites us to pray. He wants you to pray. Number two, God wants to give us good things. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts with your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Three children grew up in our home. Three children grew up to be adults and left home. There was probably nothing I withhold from them that I knew that was good for them. I now have three grandchildren. Fourth one is on the way at any time. When they come over to Papaw's house, they get anything they want. Brother Douglas, are you saying anything? Anything in the refrigerator, they get it. They want a pie, they can have a pie. Won't their parents get mad? Probably so, but they want it. I'm going to give it to them. I don't care about the parents. Isn't it amazing? And I do that, and I'm evil. If you would just get it in that thick skull of yours, and I know you to have one because I have one, that God wants to give you good gifts. God wants your school bill to be paid. You know what he wants you to do to get your school bill paid? He wants you to work. He wants you to pray for your school bill. He wants you to call out to him. God wants you to cry out to him. God wants you to lose yourself in prayer. God, deliver us from starch, stiffy Christianity. O thou God in heaven, Father of God, Jesus, amen. Where did that come from? The pilgrims? I don't know. Can I just say this? Let's talk about your bus routes. You want to see more fruit on your bus routes? Stop thinking it is about you, number one.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to say something that is very questionable that could be corrected. Oh. Well, if I knock on 300 doors, statistics tell me that 30 of those people will come to church. And my brain says, if I pray for 3 hours And I ask God's Spirit to touch people's heart, a whole bunch more will come. Now forget the numbers I use. And that does not excuse anybody from the responsibility of knocking on doors. But I'm sorry, I've been around too long and I've seen what God does when we pray to Him. You became a bus captain, you become a division leader. Now you really are cool. You're the same person with the title. Act humble. And say, oh God. Brother Ray, remember Brother Ed Smith, 34-1. He came to me on a Sunday. He goes, Brother Douglas. He was a good guy, just a great guy. He had a bus route in almost an entire project area or a big portion of it. He goes, you're not going to believe what happened. He goes, yesterday in the division meeting, you preached on the unseen captain. He goes, Brother Douglas, all kinds of things went wrong that day. I had a flat tire, and he described three or four things. He was only able to visit his bus route for 1 hour. He said, Brother Dave, I had the highest attendance that I've ever had. That unseen captain did the visiting for me. Once again, don't sit in your room and sleep all day and say, unseen captain, get up there. I need you to visit my bus route. Wouldn't that be cool? A new philosophy of first. I'm just telling you, though, prayer is powerful. You have an issue with a person. Say, can we pray together? That's the scriptural thing to do, young people. I just don't like that guy. And say, hey, can we pray together? You don't have to say, hey, I don't like you, so we need to pray together. Just say, hey, can we pray with each other? Very scriptural. God invites us to pray. Next, God gives us good things. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now listen, if you can just capture this thought right here, God wants to give every one of you good things. And I want to receive those good things. Hey guys, let me tell you how to get a wife. Here we go. You ready for this? Pray. No kidding. Back in the day, I was in Rice 105. And we would have meetings at night. We'd have devotions. And my prayer, we'd go around the circle. Somebody led the devotions. Brother Dave, what's your prayer request? A wife. I want a wife. I'm tired of being single. I'm tired of ironing my shirts. You know what? Later that semester, I asked that pretty lady right back there to go on a date. I was pointing at Mrs. Douglas, okay? I watched her very carefully. We were in the same division together. Wherever she went, she had little girls with her. Sitting on the bus, she just they'd be climbing all over her. There were a few teenage boys, too, that followed her wherever she went to. Long story short, I asked her out for a day later. We got engaged. She joined my bus route. My attendance went, phew! Yes. Get engaged, a great evangelism tool for your bus route. Could you repeat after me? God wants to give me good things. Say it again. God wants to give me good things. I want to receive good things. I want to receive good things. See, our view of God is really twisted and tormented. We think we have to earn it. We think we have to torture ourselves. We have to labor. We have to... Now God will give me something. That's very humanistic. That's sort of really like what Cain did. offer a bloody sacrifice? Are you serious? I could do better than that. I could go give him fruit and good things. God wants to give us good things. Next, reasons to pray. God invites us to pray. And you know, I've been turned down by invitations. I've invited people. I feel sorry. I forget where the story was, but it was a little family that Mrs. Douglas and I knew, and we grieved over it. They sent out invitations to the little 5-year-old birthday party. Nobody showed up. That hurt us. If I would have received an invitation, I would have went. You, myself, have received an invitation to enter into the Holy of Holies and communicate with your Heavenly Father. Many of us have turned down that invitation. 2, God wants us to give us good things. 3, reason to pray is why we get to work together with God. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This is not Calvinistic. They totally twist this. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. God says, I want to labor with you. Very dangerous to go up on your bus route and labor all by yourself. You have a choice. You can go up there and say, I'm mighty woman, I'm mighty man, and I'm going to knock on doors, and I'm going to sign up a whole lot of visitors, or you can spend about 15 to 30 minutes in prayer and say, God, go with me. There is a huge difference when God is with you on the bus route. You want to see fruit on your bus route? Do you want to see amazing things happen on your bus route? Do you want to see families come ride your bus? It only happens through prayer. I mean, passionate, effectual, fervent prayer. It availeth much. You want to see great things happen here on this campus? Do you want the chapel services to be electrifying because the Holy Spirit of God is here? Show up to prayer meetings on Friday morning. Forgive me, you cynical people, okay? Forgive me, but I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. I choose to pay the price in prayer. I choose to work and labor with God because he has invited me and he has ordained me to bring forth fruit. Another reason to pray is to become more like Jesus. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now listen very carefully. You ought to be a better Christian at the end of the semester than you were when you came here. Your parents, when you come back home, and your pastor ought to say, something's different about her. Something is different about him. I grow weary of people getting more lazy when they come to Hiles Anderson College. Well, it's just hard, Brother Douglas. Have you prayed for strength then? Listen, I cannot count the number of times in my life where physically I was exhausted, but through prayer, God gave me inner man strength. And when you have inner man strength, you have strength. And I can testify to this. God, I'm weary. I'm tired. God, help me. The Holy Spirit can energize you. You ought to go home being a better Christian, more Christ-like, more mature. Be careful who you hang around with. You become like the people you hang around with. If the people you hang around with are cynical, if they think, yeah, whatever, whatever. Really, what you're revealing is you're lazy. You're too lazy to pray. You're too lazy to go to a prayer meeting. I wish we could make it really easy for you, but there are some things that are not easy. There's some men here that you just need to get some grit in your crawl. There are ladies here, you just need to get some grit in your crawl and say, I am growing up. All this stuff about adulting, I'm going to do it. Adulting is not real hard when you have God with you. Next thing is this, and I'm just about finished. To gain strength to resist temptation, we need to pray. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now listen very carefully. Brother King's not here. He's with his surgeon in Chicago, but he will testify. It just grieves us when there's a moral failure on this campus of any type, but especially when it's sexual in nature. And I will caution you again, if you are a freshman, if you are new here, it is not very wise to just jump into a dating situation. You don't even know the person that you're dating, really. You can go to any dormitory resident supervisor and get some information. You can come to me. It's just really a good thing to kind of get your head screwed on your first semester or first year and say, okay, I figured everybody out. I know who's who. I've grown up a little bit. I'm ready to date. Now, I want you to date. I'm all for dating. You got to date before you get married. Can I just, here we go. Brother Douglas, be careful now. There is a bench, a little swing set down on the lake right there. You can't sit like this. Come here, Brother Combs, come here. Sit. This is the proper way to sit on that bench. This is not the proper way. Stop it. This is not the proper way. Nothing between. All right, put that camera down. Listen, I'll be the first to admit, I'm about ready to call my wife up here and snuggle with her and give her a big smooch here. But you know, listen, you're single. You can't do that. You are succumbing to your carnal nature. What you are saying is, Jesus, could you go over there, please? Because her and I want to touch. We love it when we touch and those chemicals stimulate the brain. It feels, oh, so good. And it does. And that's why you shouldn't do it. That's where moral failures begin. Anybody got a cell phone on them? Here's how they begin, too. Texting. You say things you would never say face to face. Tina, can you come here for a second? Yes, Mrs. Douglas. Here's another way. Here's where moral failures start. Watch this. Whoo. You're down by the post office. You're saying goodbye.
Have a good night.
Gee, I wonder what you're all thinking there. You can't do that. This is a comfortable distance right here. This is way too close. You say, Brother Douglas, there's 12 inches. Listen, when you're 12 inches from a beautiful face, it's too close. 18 inches, that's getting into it there. Safe is another step back. We had a great evening tonight. I love to laugh with you. I really do. Yeah, it was fun. But if you ever beat me in Uno again,
I promise I won't.
Thank you. How hard is that? I'm not sure that had anything to do with prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness.